What up, everybody? JP Finley, Washington Football Talk Podcast. There's a lot to discuss, even if it's not quite official. Maybe it's hypothetical. Who knows? But Ron Rivera is getting himself a damn GM. And I don't think he really cares if you don't care. If you don't like it, he doesn't care. A lot to discuss. We also have an awesome interview with the legend himself, Mr. John Riggins. Me and the boys enjoyed that one. All of that, much, much more. Let's dive into the GM situation. Washington Football Talk Podcast.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Pete Haley, Mitch Tischler. We're all here. We're all ready to talk GM from every different angle. Let's timestamp this thing. It is Tuesday, 12:34 p.m. Nothing official has happened, but I got a text Tuesday morning from a source that said they are finalizing the deal with Marty Herney to become the new GM. I'd expect this thing to become final soon. Let's start there. Initial reactions to the hire, Mr. Pete Haley.
So I understand there is some hesitancy to accept that it's Marty Herney as opposed to any of the other names. But my main takeaway is that the Washington football team has a general manager. They have a GM and a head coach, both with titles. This is how normal franchises work across all sports. So there's going to be more accountability. I think things will be a little more aligned. The fact that Rivera and Herney know each other should help promote all of these positive sort of things that good organizations do. So if you want to begrudge the fact that it's not Kyle Smith or JoJo Wooden or Ryan Cowden or any of the other candidates, I get that. I understand Herney is older and more of a retread instead of an up-and-comer. Those are all things we'll touch on. But my main simple takeaway is it is nice to have a GM with the organization for the first time since Scott Mendelow.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the consternation when you look at the name and you look at the track record, which is, you know, middling, I would say, at best. And but I think that, as with everything in this world of Twitter, you got to sit back and take a breath and let's wait and hear what that role is actually going to look like, because it's sounding like his GM role is going to be less in the player evaluation side of things and more in the being the point man and running everything up front. And I think that to have somebody who's worked with Ron as long as they have and know each other as well as they have, I think that can be a big plus in keeping the machine well oiled. So I think that it can work out, and it'll be interesting to see how they fill out the rest of that front office.
I get that, but like, the guy that's the boss is the boss, and you can always talk about, oh, he won't be doing this and won't be doing that. But like, that guy's probably going to do mostly what he wants to do, unless day to day Ron's like, no, stop doing that. Or no, that guy is in charge of this. So I think there's going to be a front office kind of shakeup. I think they're fairly undermanned if you look at how many positions other teams have, and not just scouts, but just like people in the front office. Think about, I mean, Doug Williams was a part of their front office that got moved to player development. I mean, literally, I was looking at this morning. If you just go to, like, the Washington team
coaches
website.
Page. Yeah.
Yeah, the front office side. And it's thin. Like, there's just not a lot of people. So and I'm just talking football evaluation, right? Because you've got Rob Rogers and Jason Wright, like doing the kind of the business side, but you have Kyle Smith, Eric Stokes, and then almost everybody else is a scout. Mm-hmm. Like, go to Jeff Scott is assistant director of pro personnel, advanced coordinator. Go. I just pulled up a random team. Like, go to the Titans. They have three people. They have a EVP GM, a vice president of football administration, and the football administration coordinator. That's three people in football administration. And then they have, I mean, their scouting roster is like, they have a VP of player personnel, director of personnel, director of scouting, director of college scouting, assistant director of scouting, personnel analyst, before you even get to the scouts.
Yeah, Ron himself in his end of season presser, I think we asked him, like, how is it your first time as the leader of a coach-centric model? And he's like, it was a lot. I am tired. And obviously the cancer battle had a lot to do with that. But I think Ron was involved in a ton, and he is very pro Ron Rivera being involved in a little bit less. And Marty Herney's addition will help achieve that goal.
Well, I also think some of those roles were vacated, not by choice necessarily, with what happened during the offseason. So yeah. He stepped into a situation where the guys that he may have leaned on all of a sudden weren't there, and it was too close to season time to rehire somebody hastily in that position. And so he did take a lot on. But, you know, I mentioned the last podcast, and ultimately it might not be the case where Kyle Smith stays on. But there was a situation there. There's a scenario where you have a GM who is the boss, but then you also have some more people filling in these player evaluation roles that are empty here in Washington, that aren't filled. And you look back under Bruce Allen, and, you know, we all know everything about Bruce, but there were those five layers of personnel folks before you got to the scouts as well. Now, whether Bruce ever bothered listening to them, it's a different story, but those positions were at least filled at the time.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything we're saying that I think, at its core, Ron deserves to just get the guy he wants. And if it's Herney, that's what everybody has signed up for in this coach-centric philosophy. Like, that's going to be the plan. But I also – there's room to not be happy about it. Like, there's a lot of fans that are mad. Herney's record is uninspiring. He's almost 20 games below 500 over 15 seasons. He's been fired twice by the same organization.
Yeah.
You can easily make a case for – the success Ron had, and Ron says this, but there was success Ron had in Carolina. I mean, that 2015 Super Bowl run, their three best players were Cam, Kuechly, and Josh Norman. And, you know, Herney drafted all of them. Now, two of them were first rounders. You're supposed to hit on those. You don't get credit for first rounders. But Josh Norman was a fifth rounder, and he was damn good, especially at that stage of his career. You can go further back. Herney was a part of the Panthers organization that went to the Super Bowl against the Pats. But, I mean, you can look through the drafts. You can look through the free agency stuff. It ain't Bobby Bethard.
I have a story coming out as soon as this all becomes official, reviewing both runs with the Panthers. And in addition to some of his big hits in Kuechly and Cam Newton, he also has Captain Munnerlyn, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart. Julius Peppers was actually his first pick with the organization, and Julius Peppers is a Hall of Famer. But then there are whiffs. Jimmy Clausen in the second round, Dwayne Jarrett, wide receiver out of USC, did nothing. He traded up to get a left tackle, and Jeff Otaw, who was useless. But his recent drafts, again, in his second run, there's DJ Moore, Brian Burns, Jeremy Chinn, who is a defensive rookie of the year candidate. So he seems to be better in the draft. What his main issues appear to be is landing outside free agent talent. His best names there are like Jake Delhomme and Ken Lucas, who is a good cornerback in that first sort of iteration of the Panthers. But, I mean, he gave contract extensions to D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, and Christian McCaffrey, all running backs. It's not exactly the most prudent thing to do in today's NFL, and I know Williams and Stewart were older. But then also he let James Bradbury walk last year. He didn't sign Curtis Samuel and Taylor Moton early enough. Now those two stars are set to hit free agency. So yeah, it's uneven. Every talent evaluator is going to be uneven. So Herney's no different in that way, but I understand for sure the people who are not too thrilled, but
evaluator that's going to have like a pristine record are guys that haven't done it very long. Yeah. Right. Like you're playing scratch off tickets, you know, like they're not all going to hit.
But you look at the mid to late round talent in Washington the past couple of seasons and it has hit. And maybe it's a little bit luck of the draw, but I mean, to get McLaurin and Gibson and Curl and Ioannidis and all these other dudes who are, you know, mid to late round day two plus picks, that is impressive. And that's one of the things that Ron hit on early on in when he came here, is that he talked about wanting, that he liked all the young talent that was in and around Washington. And, you know, I understand the consternation about what may or may not happen with Kyle Smith, because he's the guy who, rightly or wrongly, is getting credit for the drafts that have been largely strong. And even, you know, you don't get credit for first round picks. They were standing on a table for Montez Sweat and just were reportedly overruled to take Dwayne Haskins. So, I mean, even the guys that they made the move to come back and get him. So I really want to see Kyle Smith stay, especially as we sit here and look at, the front office as it stands.
I certainly would like Kyle Smith to stick around too. I just don't know how he will, or if he wants to, after being bypassed for interviews, and is there room for him, and maybe something soured between him and Ron Rivera, because as we touched on, ton of praise last offseason. The tune appears to have changed when we talked to Ron about Kyle during the year, completely flip-flopped, no real praise, emphasizing how I have to be on the same page, which maybe implies that they weren't on the same page. So there's a lot to be figured out with Kyle. But again, with Marty, my main point, and it's maybe too simple and some people will get annoyed, but he's familiar with Ron, and overall, maybe everybody's just going to be more in sync moving forward.
Did you guys just keep going during my computer freeze?
Yeah, yep. We're pros.
Good for you. Good for you. So I don't really know what you said, but I heard Mitch saying the late round hits for Washington, and that matters, dude. But they've also been awful in the second round, so I think that matters too. Like I said, you're not supposed to get credit for first rounders. Like, you're supposed to take Chase Young. He's supposed to be good. And I think we know that Haskins wasn't a Kyle pick at all. But my point, the Washington football team and the Redskins before them have been awful for 20 years. So no one is a deity. No one is untouchable. If Ron wants to change it up, change it up. And if you want somebody with more experience front office, I think this gets lost. Kyle only did the pro side of things for 1 year. I mean, he had only been on the college side for his entire tenure. Yeah, I mean, to what Pete said, I think it'd be great if they could keep Kyle. I just kind of – now, also, I would guess he stays through the draft. That's kind of the normal hiring-firing cycle for personnel guys, especially like a former director of college scouting type. But I don't know that. I don't know what's going to happen. I almost wonder if this is a bad time to be recording the podcast, because, like, I feel like way more stuff could happen just today. And then we'll have to do this again, or we'll just wait for the press conference. And Mitch even kind of hinted at this. I don't know if you've heard this or just seen it online or whatever, that like there could be multiple hires and multiple changes. Do you have something on that, Mitch, or is that just a
no? I think that the breadth of the search. And I think if you read the tea leaves from what they've been doing, it feels like that this isn't the only move that's gonna happen. That's kind of as I look at how they're approaching this, and Marty Herney's connection to Ron and his scouting side background, that there's room for a second part, that there's room for more hires. And I think that also goes back to those positions that were vacated because of the issues of the past within the organization. Those guys there were a couple guys who left that were, you know, major parts of the scouting department.
I like when the big man reads the tea leaves.
Yeah.
I don't know if JP's frozen or if he just has a skeptical look on his face.
No, not frozen, not skeptical. I think there could definitely be more moves. I think there will be more moves. I think there will be more people added, but I don't know that I'm buying that Herney's not in the GM or like whatever kind of title situation they try to create. I mean, I've gone back to this a lot, but if you just look at like Ron's quote on Herney when he was hot, when he was fired in Carolina, I mean, I'm going to read it to you. As far as Marty Herney is concerned, I really appreciated working with him. He's a very hard worker and a very bright man. He knows the game. If you look at what he helped us build in Carolina and when he helped us build our run, it's pretty impressive. He pretty much put a lot of pieces into place. So I think they may be adding more talent evaluators, and I think people get confused. I think there's like a misunderstanding of what that process looks like because it really is collaborative. And I feel like people just got so burnt on like Bruce saying collaborative that they don't want to accept that. They want it to be like one person's vision quest, but it is all these people work together to come up with a consensus. And I think to your point, they'll add to that.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Losing Kyle Smith is a loss. I think he's a talent, but I think this will be a net positive for what Ron is trying to build. And if it's not, one thing that I'll give Ron credit for is typically he owns mistakes. So that'll be something kind of interesting to watch down the road. Part of me also thinks, I've been thinking about this more and more, that Ron referenced like Dan's involvement in the GM thing, even going back to when things were really good with him and Kyle, or sounded really good. And I kind of wonder if, kind of similarly to Haskins, right? Like, Ron inherited Haskins. I have a feeling Dan was like, give this kid a chance. Let's see what we got. Ron pulled the plug on it after 4 weeks and then eventually pulled the cut the cord after the knucklehead stripper pictures, right? Part of me wonders if Ron didn't try it with Kyle for a year, see how it goes. All right. Hey, Dan, I tried it. Now I'm going to do my own thing. That's kind of more and more what I think is happening. I don't know that there's been like a major fallout, but maybe you just recognize that this isn't the right fit at the right time. And Herney's certainly going to be the right fit at the right time.
I think you mentioned we drink every time we say coach centric in this pod, because it's 1,000 times already, but Marty Herney sounds like he's going to be the boss. He's the GM, but it's all going to, even if they bring in 37 other talent evaluators, it's all flowing through Ron still. I think that Marty takes a lot of the clerical, the day-to-day, like managing of the staff type stuff off of Ron's plate as far as talent evaluating and scouts and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's a big part of what his role is going to be.
I'm just amazed we're at a point with this team where JP can use the phrase knucklehead stripper pictures and we just move on like it's nothing. It's another chapter in this illustrious podcast history.
So the football team we cover is like none other. I've also explained this. I think there's some level of Ashburn syndrome going on with Kyle Smith, that folks are just convinced that he's going to put together all these Super Bowl rosters because Cam Curl had a really good rookie season. I think we got to pump the brakes a little bit. I also think the free agent success, I believe Ron when he talks about Scott Turner wanted McKissick and Pete Haener wanted Logan Thomas. And I think that's not to discount anybody else's involvement, but I don't know, man. I think the level of angst is higher than it should be, but I do recognize that the Herney hire specifically is uninspiring at best. I think there's a lot of other things they could have done there that would have made people more excited. But I don't think Ron GAF about getting people excited. I don't think Ron cares about sports radio callers and Twitter. I think he wants his guy. He wants to try to build this thing for the long haul, and that's what he thinks is the best way to do it, honestly.
To that point, is there a name that would have gotten you excited, Pete or JP?
No, I was like somewhat encouraged by seeing them reach out to the Falcons and the Chargers and the Titans. And it felt like, okay, he's gotten his Carolina guys on this staff and in the training room, but maybe in the front office, he wants to go a different route. And it ending up with another Carolina voice and one who's in his mid-60s and who was fired by the new Panthers owner because the Panthers owner wants to be more analytic-driven and Herney is more traditional, which can be kind of a bad word to some people, is going to lead to a lot of ho-hums and shoulder shrugs. So I'm one of those people too. When I saw his Marty Herney, I sort of rolled my eyes at first, like, oh, of course, it's him all along. All these other names were just kind of put on a list. But as I've digested it more, the importance of Ron's familiarity with him, and if you trust Ron to run this franchise, you just need to trust Ron to do everything, I've kind of just become okay with it. I'm okay with the move.
I think so okay is the ceiling for the move. Like, yeah. Like, I can't imagine anybody outside of the Riveras and the Herneys are more than okay. Like, the excitement level is not going to – there won't be a parade.
That was kind of where, like, I was going
So on a scale of, like, riots in the streets, which is not nearly as funny to mention, but, like, from riots in the streets to a parade – like, the Marty Herney hire is like an internal email that went out about leftover sandwiches in the break room.
Right. Like, short of
that's
like
the level of excitement.
Short of them convincing.
And they might be sandwiches that half the people hate. Like, yeah. You know, the Office episode where they ordered pizza from the wrong Alfredo's or whatever?
Yeah.
I think that's what's happened. They got pizza and people love pizza, but you got it from the wrong restaurant.
Yep.
But, like, it's a GM hire. Like, short of convincing Ozzie Newsome to come across down the beltway, down 95 to be the GM in Washington, none of these names are guys that if they hired, you're going to start throwing a parade in the streets and you're going to start ordering from the right Alfredo's.
Because you haven't heard of them. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
There's sexiness in the mystery. Or Martin Mayhew at least wasn't with Ron in Carolina. There's no mystery. There's no sexiness to Martin Mayhew's mystery. But he played here, so maybe he's got nice leg. You know, like there's ways to sell every candidate prior to Herney. Mayhew played here, established GM, can hit the ground running. Cowden's a young guy with an impressive track record. JoJo with the Chargers, ton of young talent in with the Chargers.
His name is also JoJo.
Yeah, who doesn't like a dude named JoJo?
Right.
How much offensive firepower the Falcons put together, right? Yeah. Like, you can sell all of those stories. Like, the PR staff would have had a real easy time with those tweets and that press release. The Herney press release, old sandwiches.
Only one of those guys has a Super Bowl.
Who?
Herney?
No.
No? He wasn't in Carolina for it? Oh, to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl.
Been to one. Hell, I've been to one, Mitch. I've been to a couple.
The way you going to one and him going to one are different stories.
Going to one and having one are different things.
Yes.
I bet even Ron would say that as a player that won one and as a coach who's been to one. They're different things.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of a way to build off your sandwich metaphor, and I really can't, but I do think it's very apt. You know, sandwiches aren't sexy, but they fill you up and they help you go about your day and help you focus on other tasks. So maybe that's what Marty Herney is.
Do you think the sandwich metaphor, leftover sandwiches in the break room, is more apt, or the bad Alfredo's pizza?
The pizza,
is it Alfredo's, Alberto's? I don't remember, but
it was Alfredo's. Yeah, the pizza metaphor was to me the better one.
It's pizza by Alfredo or Alfredo's pizza?
Which pizza did you get? Pizza by Alfredo or Alfredo's pizza?
Is it Famous Rays or Famous Original Rays?
That's a pretty good Kevin Malone there,
Pete. Yeah.
Thank you. Kevin Malone and Jay Gruden, my wheelhouse.
Give me some Gruden on Herney.
Hey, man, you're going to hear how John Riggins evaluates him, man, and I'm a fan of what he said. He likes the hypothetical hooch, and so do I, and maybe he can get me a quarterback so I can run my offense a little better, huh?
Not bad. Not just bad for an on-command, out-of-nowhere performance.
Yeah. Thank you.
What's up with Jay? Does he get to stay with Urban? Probably not, right?
I doubt it, but that makes me so bitter. I would love to see Jay with Trevor Lawrence instead of freaking Colt McCoy or Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
All right. Have we done enough here?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, we think the presser will be later in the week, and that will be another chance to reflect on this and hear what the decision makers have to say. But until then, I think we've about covered it.
And once I'm just excited to write a press conference again.
Go ahead, Mitch.
I'm excited to write a press conference again.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to touch Mark Sanchez. I promise you that.
That's obviously going to be on Zoom, right? We don't get to go to the cool room and sit distance and everything.
Correct.
Damn.
I asked. Zoom.
Gotcha.
All I want to do is zoom, 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 zoom. You know that song, Pete?
No.
You don't know the Rump Shaker?
No.
That's way before his time.
That was like a bar mitzvah classic.
Yeah, I was going to say that was like early 90s.
Rex is in effects, but I'm the Wrecker. It's a good song.
We've established you guys love your bar mitzvahs.
I only attended, much like the Super Bowl. I only went to one. I never had one. Mitch
different story. Had. Yep. I got the scars to prove it.
It's kind of weird. all right. I want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the same thing. Go check out OarsmanVA.com. New cars, used cars. You can lease cars, probably rent a car if you need to. They'll take care of you, whatever you need. They can do your service. They can wash them, detail them, all that. When I went to Barf City, you know who got Barf City out of my car? Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. All right. We have a little bit of housekeeping. We have to go through our picks from last weekend, which I think were awful.
Yep.
Really awful.
I went 1-3. Is that right?
I'm going to get the sheet, the holy sheet. Right.
Where are you? You and your parents?
We can talk about that after the pod.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right.
I think right, you so and Pete picks. Both went 1-3 and I went 0-4.
Wow. So
we had a combined 2-10 weekend.
Yikes.
Mitch is trying to hustle us through the picks now that he knows he went 0-4 too. There are no crazy parlays. This is one pick per game for the 50 bucks.
Yeah. As I said, it's going to be like the NFC East. It's going to be an ugly record, but someone's got to win it, and someone's going to get $100 when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Are we having the pot? I don't think so. I think it's winner take all.
Right. It's winner take all.
I think you got to do a winner take all.
So if we each end up with 3-6, nobody wins is what I'm saying.
Sure.
I think we all pick a Super Bowl. When we get to the Super Bowl week, we pick a Super Bowl final score total, and whoever's closest to the total wins if there's a tie.
I like that. We need a winner.
You need a tiebreaker.
No.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll discuss. We'll discuss that when we find out where Pete is.
It's also like you know how they say in like all these shortened seasons, like, oh, a bad start really dooms you. Mitch going out 0-4, like he could be eliminated by the first championship game almost.
Pete, are you out of money? Do you need me to wire you some money?
Why?
Oh, yeah. Is that what's happening?
Is that why you're at your parents' house?
No. I have plenty of money. I continue to just slowly ascend upward. I'm dinking and dunking my way down the field.
Well, let's be clear. Ascending upward is getting less down.
Yes. I'm trying to get my head above water, and I can still see a lot of coral reefs, but I know where the surface is.
I ended up plus $10 on the weekend.
I got murdered. It was a rough weekend for your boy.
Judging by the 0-4, I'm guessing you might have to find some envelopes.
Not quite, but yeah.
He's getting his stamps ready.
We're trending.
Can't mail cash, Pete. Trust me. All right, let's on with the chlorophyll.
You got them, Pete?
What am I doing?
Do you not know that reference? Have you never seen Billy Madison?
I've seen that. I just haven't seen it in a while. I know he likes his teacher. And
go on with the chlorophyll. Anyway.
Chlorophyll? More like borophyll.
What am I supposed to do?
I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. If you and I went 1-3 and Mitch went 0-4, we don't really need to recap the bets.
Yeah, the only thing you hit, JP, was Browns plus 10. The only thing I hit was Cam Akers rushing prop. Everything else, from picking unders to picking sides to picking Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin, all of that failed.
I tell you what, the first half under, that was a fun sweat. I hadn't had – like, I never expected to enjoy a first half under bet as much as I did.
Yeah.
It just – it felt so short. I don't know. It's hard to describe.
We had the Green Bay Rams first half under 20.
Right. It lost. Don't get me wrong.
But I think there were 17 points in the last 3.5 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
That'll kill it under.
If that's all we got for picks, I'm on to FU Wednesday, even though it's Tuesday. Am I missing something? Is there something to discuss, Pete?
I don't think so. I think we're right on track here with FU.
I wrote an article that I think they should sign Curtis Samuel, and you know, Twitter's full of experts, and lots of people don't think that's the right hire or signing, and that's fine. But my bigger point was this. In 2020, they went and threw a boatload of cash at Amari Cooper because they weren't sure what they had. 2021, I don't think they're going to try to go shopping at the top of the wide receiver market because McLaurin has established himself as a star. It's one thing to have a really good rookie year, but to come back and have the first 1,000-yard receiving season in 5 years for the organization, like, you don't have to go to the top of the market because you've got a top of the market guy. So you need a secondary piece. And that's, to me, if you look at SpotRack, does a really good job of like kind of projecting salaries for coming free agents. And like Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster, those guys are going to command, call it 18 mil a year, 17, 19, 20, something like that. I think Curtis Samuel is going to cost you 11 mil a year. And while everybody's loves pointing out all the cap room Washington has, you got the Scherf deal to figure out. You got to figure out what's happening with Alex. If Alex is gone, you got more space. But if you're going to go after some veteran quarterback in some capacity, that's going to take up a ton of your cap space. I'm not sure they're going to do that, but to even have the flexibility to do so is tricky. So there was an article I wrote.
All right. I'll touch on one article I wrote. It's way less involved, but just a quick reaction. It was about Bruce Arians somewhat slighting very much slighting Chase Young for Defensive Rookie of the Year after the Buccaneers
should won. Should that be an FU Wednesday?
Should definitely be an FU Wednesday.
All right. Well, I'll just roll right into FU. Bruce Arians, you for calling out Chase Young for some weird reason. Your team is going to the NFC Championship game, and you're still preoccupied with mentioning that Chase Young only had 7.5 sacks. Completely ignoring everything else Chase Young did. You should be smarter than that. You're a football coach. You know that he did way more than that. Congrats to Antoine Winfield. He's a phenomenal player, a great find. Cam Curl's better. Chase Young is way better. Take your weird hat and move on to the title game and stop caring about what number 99 is up to.
So, like,
I think the sun's starting to get to him a little bit down there in Tampa. You see his face get super red.
I like the passion, Pete. I like Arians. So I'm not going to go to FU with him, but it is bizarre. And that's kind of his thing, is he just like is a straight shooter and isn't scared. He doesn't hold back. Like he's talked more S about Brady this year than I think Belichick did in 20 years.
Yeah.
But that's a good one. And that's a good story. I mean, if we get to talk to Chase, I'm confident he'll be asked about that. And I would guess, because didn't he like retweeted a reply about Cam Curl was better than Winfield anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. He had his fire back. It was just a lot more subtle than Arians. Again, just maybe make that argument, but why are you making it in that point? Why are you deciding to do that there? I don't know.
Pumping up his guy. I mean, I agree. It's a total FU from us, but he's pumping up his guy. Like, you know, we wouldn't bat an eye if Ron was doing that about with his guys.
Yeah, but I don't know that Ron would I think you can pump up your guy without taking shots at other guys.
Yeah, that's my point. No reason to include Chase in that discussion.
Mitchell, anything for you?
I'm excited for yours. Let's hear it.
Mitch, you need to start bringing FUs to FU Wednesday, by the way.
Yeah, what the hell?
It's a requirement.
You didn't have an FU until JP told you that you should make it an FU.
You're
just going to talk about some dumb blog you wrote. So FU, Pete. You know what my FU is? You having fake FUs and trying to con me and trying to give me a hard time on not having an FU.
Hey, thank you for participating. That's all I wanted. Congratulations.
I'm not happy with the cost of benches. I don't understand what is going on in the furniture. I don't know much about furniture. Explain
the bench. Are we talking about like in a dugout?
Somehow all the furniture in my house is changing and I'm not sure why. I don't know why this is the season for that, but all the furniture is changing. I was asked what I thought of another chair in our living room. And I said, I don't want it. I do not want that. That's where my girls ride their scooters and play.
Yeah.
And 3 days later, the chair just shows up. So clearly I'm driving the boat here.
Not a collaborative process in your house. You got asked for your take, and then the GM drafted the player anyway.
Right.
So listen to this. So Sunday, all I want to do is watch football, right? That's all I wanted to do. My beautiful wife wants to go see her parents and whatever. So we go out to her parents for the first game. We come back, and the timing actually worked out pretty well because there's that solid like half hour gap between the games. So we get home for the game. We get the girls down, and my neighbor, Greg Papa, the best host there is, Papa invites me over to watch the late game. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to go over there. And my beautiful wife says, oh, well, I was going to watch the game. I guess I'll just go to bed. And I'm like, all right, well, let's watch the game. Like, I'm cool. I didn't think you were going to stay up to watch the game. You were very tired. So whatever, we make a fire, we watch a game, everything's cool. Somehow, and the hypothetical bourbon was flowing at this point because Monday was an off day and whatever. Somehow, like 45 minutes later, my credit card's out and we're ordering a $900 bench. I could have been at Papa's drinking his beer for free.
And it wouldn't cost you $900?
Why is the bench that much moolah?
I don't know, Pete.
So wait, what are you going to do with the chairs now?
I don't know. What are we doing with the sink we just took out of the other bathroom? Now I just got a sink in my garage. What the hell's anybody need a sink? I got one. I'll sell you a sink for $50. I have no idea how much a sink is worth, but I got one for $50. It's nice.
Is this a bathroom sink or a kitchen sink?
The one in my garage?
Yeah.
A bathroom sink.
The garage sink, which is...
Yeah, it's a garage sink. I don't know what's happening here. You know what? I think the FU is to me because I'm the one getting effed.
Yeah.
Not in a cool way.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that bench. That seems outlandish. It better be made of like the finest mahogany and have like a lot of storage on it or something.
I think it should have like a massager. Like I should get a massage every time I sit on it.
Yeah. Or like it should tell you like which team to pick in the AFC championship game. Just some sort of quality that makes it worth that price tag.
Right. You know how mad JP gets when he doesn't get the seat warmer when he's in the car with us recording the pod.
That is
the bench should have a seat warmer for him.
We did three pods in Pete's car when it was cold for all three games, and I got the seat warmers once. I think we are misremembering exactly what occurred.
I offered you the seat warmer for the second pod. You turned it down and said, no, I'll just get in the back, and got in the back like a petulant child and then complained about it the entire podcast.
By the time the third podcast came along,
I sat in the back and made sure that you got the front seat.
I didn't say anything until the end. Speaking of the end, I think we've reached it. Let's let everybody listen to Hall of Famer John Riggins. One more time, I want to thank the good people, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. I want you to do the exact same thing. Listen, at this point, barring something unforeseen, barring Ozzie Newsome taking over as Washington general manager, the next pod will just be after the presser, after we find out exactly what's going on. So barring something wild, and wild does not mean Herney gets the GM job and Mayhew is football executive vice president. Wild is something completely out of the realm of possibility.
You know it when you see it.
Exactly. Much like pornography. So barring a pornographic wildness move in the front office, which I do not expect, this will be the last podcast until the press conference. Mitch is really shaking his head at me. Which
pornography
I'm not sure.
And pornography and knucklehead stripper in one pod. This is good.
Pete, I'm kind of looking swole on this Zoom, though. You see that?
You kind of are. The shirt is really doing you some favors on those seps.
Wear this more often. All right, enough from us. We are three idiots. Let's go to a Hall of Famer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
It is a major pleasure to bring on Hall of Famer, Super Bowl MVP, the Diesel, Mr. John Riggins, host of the John Riggins Show. You can catch that all over the place. John, thank you so much for joining us. Are you excited to come on this podcast?
Yeah, really. I'm just really I can't contain myself.
Let's start with
the setup question, right?
Yeah, I was just kind of messing around.
I'm there.
Let's start with the news of the day, because I think it's somebody you know. Washington hires a new GM in Marty Herney. He was a reporter back when you were playing for the team. What are your memories, impressions of Herney?
You know, I think Marty, I think if we'd have asked him, and I don't recall if we ever did, or if he tried to invite himself into the 5 o'clock club, but Marty seems like, I think Marty's a player now. How good a GM he's going to be, I have no idea, but I think Marty's my kind of guy.
I like to hear, that's our kind of guy too. We don't have the 5 o'clock club, but what we do is, because generally this is a podcast where it's only audio that goes out to the world, we talk about hypothetical bourbon that we drink while we record the podcast. All hypothetical in case the lawyers get upset. Maybe I should invite Marty to join me for a hypothetical bourbon.
And you know what? I'll bet he'll accept that invitation if you send him a bottle of hypothetical bourbon.
That's a good idea. I want to go now to a position you know very well. What do you think of Antonio Gibson this year?
You know, I think the kid's got a future. Yeah, he's got a little wiggle to him. He's got good, you know, he's got good eyesight. I just think that, you know, I don't see any real limit for him. A lot of it depends on play calling and the kind of plays they want him to run for the most part. But, you know, and he's a converted wide receiver, which is kind of odd when you think about a couple of great Hall of Famers that played for this franchise, Charlie Taylor and Bobby Mitchell. They started out as running backs and became wide receivers. And, you know, Antonio starts out as a wide receiver and now is going to be a running back. But I think he's got a bright future for him.
What did you make of how the offense used running backs as a whole? I mean, we saw J.D. McKissic get 80 catches and Gibson had 35 himself. Do you think that can be a functional offense, or where do you think the running game stands in 2020, 2021?
Well, you know, nowadays you see, what do you want to say? Occasionally you'll see, I mean, they're the anomaly, really, the Tennessee Titans with Henry, you know, as far as a team that lines up and says, look, you can stop him for the most part, you're going to stop us. that's the only franchise I can think of. I mean, there's other teams that will run the ball. Cleveland, I think, with Chubb, they do a pretty good job of mixing him and getting him into the mix. And then, you know, New Orleans and Kamara and all. I mean, there are running backs out there. But like I said, the only team that you see, there's only one. And I think that obviously, and you can tell by the pay scale, that the running back position has been really devalued over the years because I think so many teams throw the ball so much that it's an afterthought to have a running back that, you know, that you can put in there. That's really kind of plug and play. The kind of running backs that they need today, for the most part, with most franchises, what seems to me to be, is they want a guy that can, you know, run the ball from scrimmage and also catch a pass out of the backfield. And years ago, when we go way back, that's what running backs did. Then they got in, and like you see, everything goes in a cycle. Yep. And basically, and I was part of that, you know, I go back far enough that I was part of that. And then during my career, you saw it shift from a running back, and I became one of them, maybe one of the first prototype, first and second down guy, third and short and goal line guy. And then you bring in your pass catching running back. Well, now I think that they're looking for a guy that's a little bit of all that stuff, with the emphasis on really catching the football. But running the football, that's really just to keep the defense on their toes. If there's a gap there, the guy can get you 10 yards or 3 or 4 yards or whatever, but it's really more to set up the play action, as if I knew, because I'm not an offensive coordinator.
Well, you ran behind a pretty good offensive line. How important is it to have some consistency up front? And do you think that Washington should give out the big money to Brandon Scherff to come back?
Well, you know, like anything else, that you get into those situations where, yeah, he's an excellent football player. Make no mistake about that. Not just a matter of now you get into, well, okay, but if we give him all this money, we're going to have to pinch, you know, here. I don't want to get into that because it's not really what I do. But, you know, I don't think that Washington is going to be, or are, I don't think under Coach Rivera that, you know, that they're going to be, unless you can find another Henry out there someplace, I don't think they're going to be necessarily a running team. I think they've got, and McKittrick and Barber, I think these are all serviceable guys. I mean, they got a great group of running backs for what they want to do, at least it appears to me. And, you know, they need to pick up a lineman or two here or there, maybe offensive lineman. But, you know, the most important thing, clearly, and I think you saw that this weekend, you've got to be able to pass the football. And to do that, you have to be able to protect your quarterback. I mean, we're talking about if you want to play the long game. You can excite a lot of fans and get, you know, if you've got a running back that can, you know, get make people miss and all that, Lamar Jackson. But when you get into the bit, you know, they're going to take that away from you. And unless that same guy can't throw the football, and it seems like he struggles a little bit, and I'm not picking on him, but that's the way it appears in his young career, that you're going to need to put the ball downfield, and that gets down to pass pro and keeping your quarterback upright, which is why, you know, that's how Tom Brady has survived for, what, 22 years, 23, 2,500 years. I don't know. I get confused.
Watching Tom Brady, he makes love to the pocket. The way he can move around in the pocket, and he's not a mobile guy, but it's like the slightest movements, and he's just it's so fluid. It's remarkable to watch. Obviously, Brady's not on the table, but what do you think Washington should do at quarterback?
Well, I don't really have a solution because I don't think, first of all, that they have to forget about Alex Smith. His days are done. And I think that they're at a point where, you know, and I didn't see the article or the piece on 60 Minutes where, you know, basically he was kind of like not sure what he wants to do. I think that somebody, although I'm not out there, I don't know, you know, that's a roster spot that I felt like that. And really, you look back this year, you're not moving forward. Alex Smith is going to be 37 years old. He's, you know, you saw his leg played out on him. It's like, I don't get that part. You know, where you've got, he's a worn out football player, basically. I think he's got a vast amount of knowledge. There's no question about that. If you want to employ him as a coach or, you know, quarterback coach, I can see that. But I think you really got to look to the future. And there's such, I would say this, there's so many young quarterbacks that you see now this year. I mean, we're talking about first, second, third year guys. In the NFL, in other words, there's a guard that's being changed here slowly. And you see, you know, Brady's at the end of his rope. I think at least that's what it looked to me like over the weekend. He didn't have to do much, but he has a great command of the game. People, you know, and with all the war campaign ribbons that he wears, that actually is his, it probably equals his talent at this point to where people just think that he can get the job done. But, and then Drew Brees, he, you know, he had one of the worst games of his life and maybe the last game of his life. But like I said, there's a guard changing there. So I don't know. Are they, would they be fortunate? Is there a not, you can't miss quarterback coming out of college this year. I mean, you got to look at the Bengals that, you know, they get Burrow and or Burrows and he clearly looks like he's going to be that guy. Cleveland's got to be feeling pretty good about their choice. Obviously they whiffed 2 years ago on Haskins. So I don't know. Do you try to find, I'm personally, I'm not a guy that, you know, would go around looking for a retread necessarily, because I think you can get yourself into trouble there. I think you need to find a guy that you really feel great about and go ahead and take that leap of faith and get a young guy in here and groom him and go from there.
And you liked Heinicke, right? I mean, do you think he could be that guy?
Well, you know, after you watch that game, you know, he was such a huge – for me, you looked at that game, and I really thought there were two things I looked at. One, like I saw him at the end of the Carolina game. He comes in, and he does some things, but I'm thinking, well, Carolina's kind of like, we got this game, and they kind of let down. And but actually, he showed up, and he did the very same thing, you know, the 2 weeks later when they played against Tampa Bay. And what he did in a playoff game, a guy who was studying for a test, I don't, you know, you have to look at all the things that, it wasn't like he's been on the practice squad this year. He steps off of the street, steps out, you know, he's on the street, steps into a uniform, goes out on a field in a nationally televised playoff game and actually makes a game of it. And with no, you know, there's nothing about him that would ever suggest that that was possible. So I don't know. I think that they got to give him a good, long, hard look and see what he's got. But he certainly made some magic a week or so ago.
John, we kept you too long. I know you got to go tape the John Riggins show. Tell everybody how they find it and how they watch it.
You can go John Riggins, the John Riggins show, and you can get that on, you know, on Facebook or on YouTube. John Riggins show. That's all you got to put in. JohnRigginsShow.com, I should say.
The YouTube is so easy. That I've seen a few of the episodes. You always got Dexter on there and Todd. We really appreciate your time, John. Thank you very much. Maybe I'll see you at the grocery store soon.
It was fun for me, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.